is that God and not the devil is in control of how hot things get. Some of you feel like you need to be wearing asbestos underwear about now, because you're in a hot time, a hot place, a place where things are really burning and you're under a lot of pressure. But I'm going to tell you something. God is the one who is in control of how things go in your life, of how hot it gets. The devil doesn't have his hand on the thermostat. God has limits upon him. I mean, he's not unlimited, and he cannot just do anything with you as a child of God. If you're not a child of God, we better get you. We better get you in there. Because then I can't assure you of anything. But as a child of God, the devil has limits in your life as to what he can do. I know some of you said, boy, I wish God would back him off a little bit. Well, it always stretches us. It wouldn't be a trial if it didn't. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But that helps me to know that love is actually the one in ultimate control of everything that I go through in my life. Love, because God is love. So tonight we're going to continue on, study a little bit more about trials. So 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to begin to read at verse 3. We're going to read about 10 verses tonight. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again," or we've been born again, "to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith," there's what we were talking about, "for salvation," that's the outcome, "ready to be revealed in the last time." And in these three truths, you greatly rejoice. Though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory of God at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your soul, of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified before him the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who had preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into or desire to learn more about. Now, verse 6 again tells us the importance of those three truths that we studied last week. Once again, real quickly, the knowledge that I'm equipped to handle anything I face, the knowledge that my ultimate victory is guaranteed, the knowledge that God is in control of what is happening to me, gives me reason to do something really weird in my trial, in my time of testing. It gives me reason to rejoice. Not even just rejoice, but greatly rejoice, it says. What a strange reaction to a hard time. Is that the way the world responds to a hard time? That in and of itself, right there, is a testimony to others of the reality of Jesus Christ in your life, is how you handle hard times. Some of you go, oh no, I haven't really handled my hard times in the past very well. Well, praise God, there's grace for a new day. And, you know, because we walk through things differently than the world does. The world walks through things with no hope. The world walks through things scrambling. The world walks through things with a sad countenance and a downcast face. Whereas we can walk through things and hurt but still realize the truths that God has told us about what is happening with us and what is assured and laid up for us. And even in the midst of those things, even in the midst of tears sometimes, we can begin to lift our hands and say, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And you see that in the life of Job and others in the Bible, how that Satan came to the Lord and talked to him about his believers and said, if you allow Job to walk through a trial, then what's he going to do? He's going to turn on you. He's going to lose the knowledge of you and the promises that you have told him, and he'll curse you to your face. Okay? But God, knowing and believing that Job had within him, not the fact that he wasn't going to struggle, because he did, but God had a belief in knowing Job well enough that he believed that his son was going to be able to see the truth of what God was doing, even in the midst of the unexplainable, and continue to keep his trust and faith in God. And so we can rejoice, even greatly rejoice, in the midst of our suffering and persecution. I want to ask you a question. What would suffering be like if we didn't have the knowledge of those three truths? If you didn't know that you're equipped to handle anything you face, if you thought, well, it's up in the air, I don't know what's going to happen. If you did not know that God had laid up for you victory in store for you, if you did not know about your home in heaven, if you did not know about your final victory, how would that affect you in the midst of a trial? If you didn't know that God was in control of everything that was going on in your life, if you thought some other force was controlling what was happening in your life, how would that change your reaction to a trial? These things are very important to us as we walk through them. But even with this knowledge, suffering and persecution is not naturally an easy thing for us. It's not naturally easy for us. Now, knowing some things about what Peter talks about in this letter, and he's calling them trials, he's calling these hard times, he's defined them as trials, it helps us in our quest to overcome. So I want to share some things tonight with you that I see in the book of 1 Peter that will help us to learn a little bit about a trial, about when we start going through something hard, whether a suffering or a persecution. Now, first thing I think I need to do is define what a trial is. Now, in the original language, when you look at the word trial here, this is what it means. A trial is a temptation or a test. To further flesh that out, it means it's similar to an experiment that is done on something to determine its validity. All right? So let's say in science, they have something there in front of them, and they want to know exactly what it is. They want to be able to define it for sure. They want to be able to test its validity. Then they'll put it in the laboratory through some type of what? Test. They'll put it through some type of test to determine its validity. And that's the word that's being used here for trial, is a temptation or a test. Now, I need to share something with you. Everybody okay so far? If your neighbor's asleep, slap them. Put them through a trial. Now, there's a difference in the biblical definition. There's a difference between a temptation and a test. There's a difference, and we need to know this, because that does say a temptation or a test, and I'm going to explain why in just a minute. But there's a difference biblically between a temptation and a test. All right? In its truest sense, a temptation is when we are enticed by our own lust to do evil. In its truest sense, that's what a temptation is. It's where we're walking through life, we see something, we encounter something, and all of a sudden a desire within us, or a temptation, some type of temptation that we feel is a desire or an inclination to do something against the Word of God, comes up within us. In the truest biblical sense, that's what a temptation is. All right, and many times, often the instrument that is used to tempt us has been placed before us with an evil intent. Maybe it's even there to get us to fall. That's the whole reason that it's there, or it's just something that just appears in life. You know, you've got temptations all around you. Anybody notice that? Lately, they're even on billboards. You know, you can't even drive down the freeway without seeing things that try to tempt you. You know, I feel sorry for people nowadays because we have to do so much work on the internet. And even if you're just reading on the internet just for informational purposes or pleasure purposes, just to try to learn about some things, there's all this temptation stuff on the sides many times, especially in men's things, and women's too, but especially in men's. You can't read a sports column on the internet without there being pictures of girls. Would you like to meet these girls? Just click right here. It's just one click away. It's just right there. And all those temptations are just right everywhere that we go. I used to work downtown Dallas in one main place, and every morning I had to walk by that cinnamon roll place where they made the homemade cinnamon rolls. And I mean, they rolled the dough out in a flat sheet, and the dough was from one end of my hand to the other, that big. And they'd just put all that stuff in there, and then they'd just roll it like a piece of carpet. And at the end, then they'd just cut it like this, and then just throw those things out there, and then pour all that stuff on there. And you know, it was always just a temptation just to stop and get one of those every time, because the smell was just saying, come and get me, come and get me, come and get me. Then we had famous Amos's cookies. It was just a couple of stores over, and they're baking the fresh cookies, you know. And then you walk on down, then there's the Fredericks of Hollywood store, and you're like, oh brother, I got, you know, pass this thing. And then you're down here, and there's this thing. It's all around. Anybody notice that other than me? I mean, if you're alive, some of you may not be, but if you're alive, then you see it out there. It's out there everywhere. And the truest nature of it, well, let me just back up and say this. God didn't put all those temptations in front of you. He didn't do that. Well, let's throw a Fredericks of Hollywood out there for Don, so he'll have to walk past it and put him through a trial. That's not God. That's not, God didn't do that. All right? And when we walk by that, and if we have a struggle, we can't say, hey, God is really putting me through a test here. You know what that is? That's our own humanness of saying, yeah, go for that. Do that. Stop on that. Go, you know, go see. Just click on that thing one time. That's not going to be a big deal. You can always back out if you get somewhere you're not supposed to be. Well, if you can't back out on that front end, it's going to be hard the deeper you get in there to back out. You know what I mean? So you those temptations are not put there by the Lord. And we're not being tempted. The Lord's not throwing those things in front of us as a test. James says this in the book of James chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. James said this, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, tempt anyone with evil. He doesn't do that. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his what? His own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, I mean, if you let that thing go until it becomes an action, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. I just heard somebody's thoughts. Yes, we do talk about sin in this church. I just felt that right now. I mean, oh man, we're talking about, say yes, the Holy Spirit, we talk about that in here because this is the world we live in, and Jesus Christ came to set us free from these things. And the Bible says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. When I walk through a place and get tempted fleshly by something, that's not a good gift. Okay, that didn't come from the Lord. All right? So we have to understand that God is not tempting us. When we do go through a struggle because we're being tempted in the flesh, that's not coming from God. A temptation is different from a trial. If you're being tempted to do evil, that's not God. It's our own lust. No matter how beautiful or desirable the temptation is, well, some people look at it and go, they look at something that comes along and say, this must be God. Look how beautiful. Brother, Do you know that Satan can send along some beautiful things into your life to try to tempt you to do some stuff? It wouldn't be a temptation if it was ugly or if it wasn't attractive to you. You understand what I mean? I know some people that somebody shows up in their life and go, oh, this has got to be God. Look at this. And it could be the farthest thing from the Lord. You know, and they see something and then they begin to examine it. They put it through a test. And when they begin to test that person, they begin to see that they don't love the Lord. There's things in them that don't line up with the Word of God. But they ignore all that because they say, well, God's probably put them in my life for me to change them. Hallelujah. And partake of all the benefits while I'm doing that. No. Everybody say no. No. Look at your neighbor and say no. If you're doing that, get out of it. If you're tempted by that, stop it. Run from it as fast and far as you can. All right? Nobody's in the people changing business but God. And He hadn't put people in your life for you to try to fix them so that you can have a relationship with them. No. No. That's not the way He operates. Read the Scriptures. We don't have time to get in that tonight, but we will. That's coming. All right. Now, trials, though, are a different matter, are different from a temptation. The intent of a trial is to test the validity of your faith as a testimony to God. And while it's doing that, it's purifying and refining our character in our lives. Okay? So it's to prove the validity of your faith as a testimony to God. And while it's doing that, it's purifying and refining our character as well. Just as heat removes impurities from gold. Anybody ever seen some metals created? When they begin to make steel, or when they, let's talk about gold, because gold is a precious metal. When they begin to get ready to mint gold and to get ready to make it into bars or whatever, they put it through intense heat. And the intense heat does a couple of things. One, it verifies that what they have is gold. It actually does. It verifies in that what is gold, because what is gold begins to separate through heat from that which is not gold, through any other metallic elements that are in rocks or whatever, minerals or whatever, that is not gold. And that's what happens when we walk through a trial. Heat comes on. And that heat gets so intense in our lives that it begins to collect that which is of God, bring it together, strengthen it and validate it, and look and get it to the place where people can look at it and goes, there it is, now I can see it. And it also removes the impurities and the impurities out of our faith, and that is the intent of a trial. Now, the reason that a while ago said a test and a temptation is that doesn't mean that when you go through a trial, you may not experience temptation in your trial. Now, the temptation's not coming from God, but it still doesn't mean you may not experience some. Okay? In some cases, when you're going through a trial, temptation and testing can be present in it. The trial is only revealing in your life what is already present. God didn't bring it along. God's not using evil. Okay, let me back up. Let me tell you what I'm talking about here. Let's say that I am walking through an intensely difficult financial situation. And it's a trial for me. I believe that at some point in time, most believers walk through a financial trial. Because God's got to get the love of money out of us and the dependence upon money. I'm going to teach about money on a Sunday morning coming soon. Somebody, well, good, tell me which Sunday because I won't be here. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a little bit different slant on it that you don't always see all the time. Money has a godlike quality. Money can provide security. money can provide things you need. It has this kind of mystic, it's not God, it's just a thing, but it has this mystical deceitfulness about it. Jesus talked about the deceitfulness of riches. All right? And so God, it's very easy to depend upon money. Jesus said it's easier for a rich man to go through a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of heaven, yet we're preaching all over the church for everybody needs to get rich. You know, hey, we all need to get rich, and we're preaching, telling everybody how to get rich. I don't have anything against that, but that comes with its own very special set of trials and temptations that are very difficult to walk through. Jesus said, you know, that's a God thing for a rich man to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's a God thing because of the deceitfulness of money. But that's not what we're talking about. But let's say you're going through an intense financial trial. Okay? Well, in that trial, God, if He's in control of your life, then He knows what you're going through. And at some point has had to be able to give His assent to at least you walking through the trial. If you believe in the sovereignty of God, then you have to believe that. The book of Job plays it out. All right? Now, in that thing, God is teaching you some things. He's purifying your faith. He's teaching you to be committed to Him and to hang on to His word and to believe that He's the provider. Well, we're at the end of our resources, but I believe Jesus is the provider. He's going to get it to us. Okay? You're going through a test to see if you're going to believe the word of God. But somewhere within that test may come a temptation. It didn't come from God, but it's an impurity that was already in you. A temptation to take some money, steal some money from somebody. I'm not saying that's what it would be, but a temptation to go outside the Word of God, a temptation to begin to do some things that aren't the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? So in the midst of a trial, there can be temptations in there. They're not coming from God, but there can be. And that's why it says, in a sense, and sometimes a trial can have both. Okay, because you could experience a temptation when you're going through a trial. And that's why the definition said what it said. Now, here are some other truths that 1 Peter tells us about trials. I've got 6 of them. My wife said that's too many, but I'm going to talk about each one of them just a little bit at a time. But Peter, in a couple of verses, gives you 6 things about trials. They're there if you'll see them. Okay? The first thing you need to know about a trial is that trials come in different forms. Everybody say trials come in different forms. There's just not one kind of trial. All right, where they say, "Oh, give him a trial," and it's always the same thing. Trials can come in many different forms. In verse 6, it says we go through various trials, different types of trials. Each trial is different, but there's a purpose in every trial you face. That's the common denominator. There's a purpose in every single trial. Now, some trials can come in response to our faith in the form of persecution. How many have ever really felt like you were being persecuted because of your faith? Because you believed in Jesus. You were a follower of Jesus. Okay? That's good. Blessed are you when you're persecuted because of your faith. And some come in that form. And the trial comes as a result of our faith in Jesus. And it serves as a testimony to His glory as we stand firm in our belief and our relationship with Him. It confronts the world with His reality and His lordship. And these persecutions can also serve as what I call focus events. It focuses our lives, destroying all else but the desire for His will. And those of you that are going through a persecution because of your association with Jesus, the Bible says that you better rejoice because great is your reward in heaven. And that's another thing you have to look forward to. The disciples did that. Man, when they were persecuted for the Lord, when they were beaten for Him, the Bible says when they walked out of there, they rejoiced. They didn't go through, "Where did God go? I've been serving Him so faithfully." You know, why did he allow this to happen? Isn't that the way we respond most of the time? Where'd God go? Why'd this happen? I just don't understand why I'm going through this. Why me? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. And our faith just seems to disappear. But the believers, the disciples, when they were beaten for knowing the Lord and they left by the Sanhedrin, they rejoiced because they knew two things about that. Number one, if God was able to be seen through us enough to get us persecuted, then the Spirit of Jesus must be resting on us, and that's all we care about. We don't care about anything else but the Spirit of Jesus being manifest in our life. Hallelujah. Our whole purpose for living is being accomplished to bring glory to Him. Secondly, they said, praise God, we remember what our Savior said. He said that blessed are you when men treat your name as evil, persecute you for my name. He said, rejoice in that day because great is your reward in heaven. And they were looking ahead. As if you're going to be a successful believer, you can't just look at everything in this life and take your evaluation on everything that's happening here. You're going to have to be a forward-looking people as well. Do you understand what I'm saying? You got to be able to look ahead. Now, we've kind of lost that. Now, the old-time believers, they understood that. They sang a lot of songs about the coming of Jesus and the heaven, their home, and what lies ahead. Now we just focus on the here and now. Lord, let's try to make this place into heaven right here. But you know, we do have a home lying ahead. And if you're being persecuted for the name of Jesus, then great is your reward. Now sometimes we suffer because of circumstances. Anybody ever been through a hard time? You didn't put in for it? We go through hard times when we shoot ourselves in the foot. That's what I call it. And I've done that. I've sinned and done something wrong, shot myself in the foot, and then had to walk through the consequences of it. And that's tough too. But at least I understand a little bit about why it's happening. But when you're just going along in life and then all of a sudden tough circumstances come on you, sometimes that's hard to handle. But that does happen in this life. And that also brings focus to our lives as well. It sharpens our intent to live for Jesus no matter what comes our way. And those trials purify our faith and our character as well. But they come in many different forms. You can be going through a tough time in finances. You can be going through a tough time of trial with your family. You can be going through a tough time relationally. You can be going through tough times in your body. Okay? And so we have to remember that those trials, that's real foundational, but those trials can come in many different forms. The second thing Peter tells us is trials come as needed. He said, if need be, didn't he? He said, verse 6 says that we go through trials if need be. That means that God's in control of things in your life. Remember, there's a purpose in every trial you face. Things are not happening to you, Don, haphazardly. We've talked about that many times, but that's important. You're not just walking through life and heaven's trying to respond to things that are happening. They have a crisis intervention center up there, beep, that when you do something, this light goes off in heaven, beep, 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 and a bunch of angels gather around and look at it and go, oh my goodness. You know, Lorraine has done something unforeseen. We've got to respond to it. We don't know, we didn't foresee what was going to happen. No, God is in control of your life. That is important for you to understand. And God's intent for you is to be strengthened as you go through life. Now, you know one of the things I hate about the gym? Well, that it's there. It's like a trial to me. Anybody understand that going to work out, it's a trial. I don't see it as fun. It's a trial. And I need to have my view of that changed. I understand that. I need to be like Kim. I don't know where Kim is in here, but... But yeah, she likes to work out. I see her every morning. Hey, yay, I'm at 7 o'clock in the morning. Yay, I'm at 24-hour fitness. And I just feel like throwing up in the pot. When that, you know, going in there and going, when I see that, it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, that's a trial to me. But you know one of the reasons it's a trial? Because it hurts. Those weights are heavy. When I run, something happens. My side starts hurting. I can't breathe good. You know, my heart starts working overtime. It starts saying, stop. Please stop this. This madness must stop. Then the next day, I try to bend my arms, and right here hurts really bad. You know what I mean? And up back in here and everything. And you're, the whole atmosphere of my life starts screaming, stop this madness. And that's the way trials are. It's like going through the gym of life. But if you're going to be stronger and you're going to build endurance, you have to do that. Right? And if you're going to look good in a bathing suit. No, that's not it. But you understand what I'm saying. If you're going to build endurance, then you have to have resistance. Resistance is important to endurance. Now, when we get to heaven someday and all evil influences are removed, we're not going to need that. Everything in me, all the flesh in me is completely peeled away and I don't have to live in this type of body anymore, I'm not going to need that. But here, we need it. But I know how it is. I mean, as soon as resistance comes in our life in the form of a trial, we go, where did God go? Why is He making me lift these weights? I don't like doing that. Why is He making me run? Why do I have to move? I don't even want to move. I just want to lay here and somebody feed me grapes and, you know, and just wash my hair when I need it washed and do my laundry. And that's what I became a Christian for. And that's what my goal out of the Christian life is. And the Lord said, you got an enemy in this life and you are not going to make it if that's the way you try to live. He will slaughter you. You're going to have to get strong and equipped for the battle. We are in a war. This is a war zone. Nah, this is, I want a peace zone. And that's what I'm working on. I want peace. All I want is peace. Well, you're in the wrong place. If that's all you want. Now, we can have inner peace from Jesus. But if you want just to have no conflict or anything happen, you're in the wrong place. This is a war zone. It's not going to happen here. We've got enemies here and we've got flesh here that has its own desire. And we've got to overcome. And to overcome, we need to be strong in the Lord. Amen. Boy, I can tell everybody's really shouting on this one tonight. I don't care. All right. Number three, trials are painful. That's real simple. But that's something you need to understand. Verse 6 says that trials bring us grief. Well, let me ask you, fire is hot, right? And if you touch fire, does it burn you? Boy, it sure will. Does fire have a purpose? Yeah. It has a good purpose. Submission is recognized in our lives as genuine when we face suffering and pain in the knowledge that God is in control of what is happening to us. Anybody can be a believer when everything's going good. Now, I'm going to talk about the difference between when things are going good and the difference between when things are going bad on a Sunday coming up and the different challenges that puts before us, because it does. But anybody can be a believer when everything is going well. But when we encounter resistance, which is common to this life, our submission to God in the midst of that testifies of our genuine faith in Him. Right? Yeah, it does. People are watching you when you go through hard times. They're watching you when you go through good times. They're watching you all the time. Every day. And they want to see how you handle trials. They want to see what your faith is in. They want to see if you really believe what you've been telling them. We hate pain, but pain is a great refiner. And it's a tool of focus for us. Boy, when you start getting into pain, things start coming into focus. We try to avoid pain at all cost. But the avoidance of all pain in life seems like a lofty goal. But it's a fool's errand to try to turn life into something it's not. The desire to avoid all pain will only lead us to the avoidance of that can grow us and the avoidance of that to which exalts God.
If my goal is to avoid all pain, God may be walking me straight into an encounter that I need to have. And if my goal is to avoid all pain, I'll do everything I can to get out of it. Did you know the Holy Spirit led Jesus in the wilderness to be directly in contact with the devil? He led him into a place of lack and into a place of direct confrontation with the enemy. And when you're in a wilderness situation, everything in your life starts bubbling to the surface. Every desire, everything that you've leaned on all your life, all of these ways that you've used to manipulate and control, when you're in a situation of lack and direct contact with the enemy, all that comes to the surface. And the enemy is sitting there talking to you, encouraging you to act on it. Yeah, do this. Yeah, get yourself out of this. Yeah, shouldn't be going, where's God? Yeah, you ought to be doing something to ease your pain. But God uses both good and bad in our lives to bring what's good. It's not popular preaching, but it's real and mature. We live in the presence of imperfection and the flesh and the devil, so pain is inevitable. But God, if I'm gonna walk through it, and I am, use it to bring glory to you. That's my prayer. Now, I'm not jumping in the front of the line for it. I'm not a masochist. I don't do that. I'm not, you know, I am not going to go out on Easter and let anybody beat me with a cat of nine tails and hang me on a cross. I don't need to do that. That's already been done for me. I'm not some kind of Christian masochist, because I know as I walk through life that I'm going to encounter tough trials. I realize that. And I just say, Lord, I know they're going to test me, and I know they're going to test everything in me. But Father, please, during the whole thing and when it's all over, all I desire is that you will be glorified. Paul said it this way, be glorified in my life, whether by life or by death. Now that's somebody that loves Jesus. Somebody who all he wants is the glory of God to be seen in his life. Number four, trials have a time limit. You can say amen on that one. Trials have a time limit. Now, no trial lasts forever. Now, let me repeat. No trial lasts forever, because forever is a long time. If you have some type of handicap physically, emotionally, mentally, that will disappear someday. It's going to disappear in the light of the glory of God someday. Trials last for a little while, Peter said. And we cannot sell out eternity and the blessings of God for what is temporary. Get it in your mind. There will come a day. Everybody say, there will come a day. That what I'm going through, there will come a day that what I'm going through will be over. That's a truth. That's a truth. That's a truth. That's a truth. It may be when I get to heaven, but it's real. It's a truth. It's a truth. I used to have all kinds of confusion about healing. Lord, why do you heal some people? Why don't you heal some others? And I don't understand why healing is so unpredictable. You tell us to pray for it, and then we go lay hands on somebody, and nothing happens. I don't like that. Anybody else relate to it? I was thinking about me, to be honest with you. You know, that makes me uncomfortable. Makes me look stupid. I wasn't thinking about how it affects, you know, eternity. But David Shibley preached one time, and he said, I used to struggle with healing. And boy, when he said that, my ears perked up. And he said, but when I began to understand that it's our destiny as children of God for every single one of us to be healed. Many are going to see it in this life, and some in the life to come, but every one of the children of God are going to be healed. And when he said that, I quit struggling. I did. I quit struggling with it. I said, praise God. Then it does work. Because this life is not all there is. Okay? This life is not all there is. If you don't have a vision of the future, you can sell out the present. God has his hand on you during your trial. Trust his timing. Number five, trials test the genuineness of your faith. How do you know something's real? We've already talked about this. You test it. How do you know something's operating according to design? You test it. How do you know your faith is founded on Jesus alone? Now, we think we know everything because we're smart. Okay, we are. I think my faith is founded on Jesus alone. But I don't really know for sure until I encounter a situation in which I have to make that decision. And I mean a tough one, where I'm in pain. Does that make sense? See, I thought before I got remarried, I had married before I was saved, and got saved during my separation, and my spouse was in an adulterous relationship and just didn't want to repent. And so after I'd prayed for a long time for the Lord to save my spouse, and at some point in time he told me, he said, I'm through dealing with her for this season. And he said, I release you out of this. Well, I went to counsel and I talked to people about it and got it confirmed 3 or 4 times. And then during the time after my divorce was final, I began to pray that God would heal me of all the pain that I had experienced during my divorce, and that God would rid me of all the things that made me not a good husband. Okay? That's what I began to pray for. Well, at some point in time, God told me, you're going to marry again. And I was like, I don't know. Well, sounds good. I don't know. You know? And I did. The Lord brought along Rhonda in my life. And, you know, I walked into that thinking, man, I'm going to be a great husband. Man, I sought God. I laid my life bare before Him. You know what I mean? I just laid everything bare before the Lord, so I know I'm going to be a really good husband. Well, when you get back in that trial, in that situation, then all of a sudden you start discovering things that were there you didn't know were there. And that's the same way with our faith. As much as I know right now, somebody said, what would you, if somebody ever held a gun to your head and said, deny Jesus or die right now. It's up to you. Boy, it's real easy for us to stick our chest out and say, well, that's easy. I know what I'd do. They tell you they're going to peel your skin off of you, strip at a time, unless you deny the Lord. Well, that's real easy. I'll stand firm through it all. It's real easy to say until they get the pliers out. You understand what I mean? And then it becomes real. And I'm not trying to freak anybody out, but do you get my point? You see what I'm trying to say there? That trials test the genuineness of our faith. All right, and number 6 and last, trials deliver the soul. In the presence of the fire of your trial, every love, every leaning toward certain responses, every bad attitude, every excuse, every lie, everything you have a tendency to lean on and depend on other than Jesus will be exposed, and the goal to be burned off of you. Deliverance comes in many different forms, but this is one form that God does use in our lives. When your trial is over, the goal is for you to be more like Jesus. To deliver your soul. Remember how we talked about fire separates the impurities from what's real, from the genuine? And that's what it does. And that's a big thing that happens in the midst of a trial. And you know what? When we go through a trial, the goal is to come out more delivered than we were before. Saying, you know, man, I used to really worry about finances. And I went through that trial, and now, through that trial, I've come out on the other side now with a real faith that Jesus is my provider. I used to have a mental knowledge of that, but it moved the longest 18 inches in the world from here to here. That's what I once heard a pastor say. The longest 18 inches in the world is from here to here. Something can be real here, but not be real here. And you can say, during that trial, all that changed. And that's one of the things that God's looking at. So, Peter said trials come in different forms. Trials come as needed. The Lord has control over them, and He sends them to our life as need be. Trials are painful. I'm not talking about temptations. I'm talking about trials. Trials have a time limit. Trials test the genuineness of your faith, and trials deliver the soul. And now as we end up tonight, I just want to leave you with a scripture that gives a great perspective on trials. And that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says this. And it starts off with a great thing when you're facing a trial. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is just for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Through verse 16. You're doing good. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporary. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. That's a scripture that gives us great truth and perspective on a trial. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You that You're in control of my life. I want to thank You that You're in control of this church. And this church has walked through trials as a corporate body. And Father, if we don't understand these things about trials, these truths, then Lord, we can misinterpret what's going on and we can make bad decisions out of our grief, which is real, out of our pain, which is real. Lord, out of the hard things we're going through. But Father, I understand that You are standing at the door of my life guarding what happens to me. I do understand that if I'm going to be strong in my faith, I'm going to have to face resistance at some point in time. Lord, I may not like it, but I can endure it as You are with me. So Lord, here's my prayer. Same prayer that Jesus prayed when facing the trial of His life on earth. Not my will, but Your will be done. And Father, that's what we desire more than anything else. And we repeat what the Apostle Paul said. We say, Father, whatever brings the most glory to You, life, death, I let You make those decisions. Strengthen me to be faithful in all things. Because, Lord, I know You're using all things for Your glory and for my good. And I give You praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 Do you believe that? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? All right. Praise God. All righty. Well, guess what? Well, Sunday, we're going to be here talking about the three levels of life. We talked about the three levels of accountability last Sunday. This Sunday, we're going to be doing another foundational teaching to being able to be effective as Christ ministers, which we all are according to the Word of God. We're going to be talking about the three levels of life. And although it may start out in something, you're going to hear it and you go, yeah, I've heard that before. Not exactly this way. I've been getting with mentors and other things. We've been talking about this. And there are some truths in this that you really need to know, because it doesn't matter if you've been saved 2 minutes or 200 years. We all face daily, or at least on an ongoing basis, what we're going to be talking about on Sunday. And I have seen many people that have been saved years still fail the test. Okay? So I'm excited and I'm looking forward to this. Tonight, as you go out, love on each other. and have a great week. And I just want to say thank you to all of you. We love you so very much. Looking forward to a great year in Jesus. It started off good, and I think it's just going to gain momentum. Are we going to face some resistance along the way? Yes, we are. But in the Lord Jesus, we're going to be stronger as we go through it, and He's going to be glorified. And that's all that this church exists for. Amen? God bless you guys. Love on each other. See you later.